the TurboCast.
Hello, welcome to the TurboCast. I am J-Rod Toasterpig, and today we have three people here with us. We have our returning regular Dream, and as our special guest, we have Pesky Plumber, a rather notorious Turbo in the VGA forums. And we also have our ever-supportive Turbo member, TrueColors05.
Hi.
Hey, TrueColors. For those people who don't know, he's been doing a lot of work for the show behind the scenes, and this is his first appearance on the show. Hopefully, you receive him with warm kudos. So, first, let's open things up. Let's have you guys introduce yourselves. How about you first, TrueColors, since you're the first one to speak out of turn?
Hi, TrueColors, and I'm not sure what to say.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and maybe follow it up with just an example of perhaps your favorite video game.
My favorite video game is Ocarina of Time, Big Shock. Because, well, it's a great game.
It is widely accepted as such. You don't have to be too nervous, TrueColors, or anything like that, because things are pretty casual around here. Nobody's going to make fun of you or anything like that, unless it makes things funnier, which it probably will. So, actually, be on your guard.
He's
dead. You saw how nice we were to Bash last week.
Yeah, Bashkir took the brunt of Azura's wrath last episode, being declared the boring person. Don't take that title away from him. He treasures it greatly.
It does quite.
So, well, your favorite game is Ocarina. Did you say it was Ocarina?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. That would be retarded if you said something like Mario 3, and I'm like, Ocarina! That's awesome! Alright, before we move on, let's have Pesky Plumber introduce himself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Pesky? Perhaps your favorite game?
Well, possibly my most favorite game would obviously probably be Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo. But I think it's got pretty solid gameplay, the music's quite nice, and I really quite like the mechanic of riding Yoshi and that. Sorry, am I boring you?
You guys aren't boring us. This is standard introductory fanfare stuff, so.
Yep, Super Mario World was pretty great. Not my favorite game on the Super Nintendo, but it's pretty good.
As far as Mario games go, I have to always side with Mario 3 as being one of my favorite games, but I suppose if we're going for Super Nintendo games, it would definitely be Super Mario World would be up there.
My favorite Super Nintendo game is Super Metroid.
Super Metroid's pretty good. I'm a big fan of the Donkey Kong Country series.
I love those games.
A big part of my childhood, yeah.
Yeah, the Donkey Kong, it's what came bundled with my Super Nintendo when I got it, and it was one of the games I played a lot. Like, I had 1 and 2. I never got 3. I never got to Donkey Kong Country 3, but I played 1 and 2 a lot.
I only played the first one, though. I didn't really know about the third.
Yeah.
My problem is that I kind of sided with the wrong team. I got a Sega Mega Drive, or Genesis, as it's known over there.
Yeah.
So I never had a SNES. My first introduction to Nintendo was really the N64. And so, like, Super Mario would be, you know, Super Mario 64 and Donkey Kong on that and such. But they were still good games. That's sort of my sad childhood and how I chose Sega over Nintendo and the mistake that turned out to be.
Well, for those of you just encountering the show for the first time, the gentleman just speaking was Dream. He's one of our returning regulars. I had a neighbor who had a Genesis, so I never owned a Genesis, but I would go over to his place to play it, like Mortal Kombat, Sonic, of course.
Yeah.
Streets of Rage.
Yeah. If you owned a Genesis, you had to have Sonic, or else.
Oh yeah.
Because it came with the system, I think.
I think there was a period between when the Genesis was first released and when Sonic was released that you could potentially get like a Generation 1 Genesis and not Sonic. I think it was packaged with something else, but yeah. Go ahead.
I was about to say, like, my cousins had like a Sega Genesis, and me and my sister had like a Super Nintendo. We'd always used to go over to their house to play Sonic 2 and that.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Just last year, I bought.
Never had a Genesis.
Last year, I bought a Genesis off eBay, and along with it, I bought it's called the EverDrive. I don't know if any of you ever heard of this, but it's a cartridge. No. It's available on a website called StoneAgeGamer.com. But anyway, it's essentially a cartridge with an SD card slot. You download ROMs onto the SD card slot, and I do not encourage pirating games of any sort. But if you happen to have game ROMs for one reason or another, you can put on this SD card and put it in the slot on the cartridge, put in your Genesis, and play them. So essentially you
Only work for Genesis ROMs, or could you potentially play Super Nintendo games on your Genesis?
It only works for stuff that was originally designed for the Genesis hardware, so Genesis games. If you have the 32X or whatever add-on, you can play 32X games too. But basically, but the thing is, the EverDrive. If you go on StoneAgeGamer.com, and believe me, this isn't like a plug. Or wasn't an intended plug or anything like that. It's just, since I'm talking about it, I might as well say where I got it. But there's an EverDrive designed for most of the major nostalgic systems. Like, there's one for the Super Nintendo, there's one for the Genesis, there's one for I think there's one for the Game Gear? But I know... And there's one for the 64. I think that's it. I don't know if they have one for the original NES yet.
Let me check. Wow, they have a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think it's one of the main attractions to the website, to be honest.
Well, really, if you're interested in sort of the kind of Mega Drive gaming days, then they released the Sega Mega Collection on like the PS3 and it might have been PS3 and a couple of other consoles, but. It just has basically, it has like all the Sonic games, all the Streets of Rage games, and
there's
the other biggest hits. Like,
they have one of them for the 64, one of them for the Game Gear, one of them for the Genesis and the Mega Drive, one of them for the Sega Master System, and one of them for the SNES.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
But yeah, the Mega Collection is actually just, it's pretty good, I've got it, and it's just basically a game library on a disc that's... Yeah. It has Comic Zone, which is the most balls-hard game of any game ever.
Comic Zone. Yeah.
I've never heard of it. You should look it up. Comic Zone's pretty cool. Another thing.
Oh, it's really cool. Hard.
It's the thing that makes the reason I got the EverDrive is one, when I got it, I actually had a bit more disposable income than I do now. And two, it allows me to play the games on the original, like with the original controller, all the original hardware is designed to be played on. So, because I always find, like, I have a Sonic collection on my PS2 that...
Oh, was it that Sonic Mega Collection thing?
Yeah, something like that. And I find it really awkward playing it on the PS2 controllers, because it's just like, there's redundant buttons, it's not exact.
Plus it was designed for the Genesis.
Exactly. I love playing on nostalgic systems. I'd love to get one for the Super Nintendo as well, because there's a lot of Super Nintendo games I'd love to get on ROM, but, you know, it's... I don't have the disposable income to get another EverDrive yet, but, yeah. So, we should probably talk a bit about a few things. Like, one, Pesky, or Plesky, as a lot of people call you.
Yeah.
that's like from Fraser mispronouncing your name or something, isn't it?
on the Mario Kart episode.
Yeah,
well, it was actually the first time he first mispronounced my name was during his video game Lonesome of Uncharted 2. And like, I was saying to him, I was like, oh, you're doing really well. And he was like, oh, thanks, Plesky. But the first time a lot of the other people made note of it was during the Mario Kart one, where like I beat him. First try. My favourite bit was when I said, that's for calling me Plesky. And like, he had that sudden realisation of my name where he was like, Pesky Plumber 64, like, points to the chat. It's just so funny. And like, he had this like over the top explanation of my username.
Because
he had a 64 when he was a kid and stuff. Sized. Yeah.
I thought your username is pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, yeah. I just love Mario. What's not to know?
Yeah. Pesky Plumber, what could that refer to in the context of a video game show?
I think it's like Big Doug.
Yeah, clearly.
I thought it was just referring to Super Mario 64.
I thought it was referring to that crappy, like, old Windows game where you laid the pipes in certain directions. I forget what that game is called. I remember it used to ship with, like, different versions of Windows. No, do you guys even know?
I don't know. I
just
think of Tetris.
Oh, well, I'm alone here then. Well, for those of you who don't know, you probably should. And if you don't know this, well, fuck you. But I'll tell you anyway. Pesky is known for doing a lot of fan art, as well as his own comic series on the forums. The Turbo Comic. And you should check it out. We'll probably have a link in the description or something like that. I believe we've kind of skimmed over True Colors video game. We talked a little about Super Mario World and some other nostalgic games, but you mentioned that you were a big fan of Ocarina of Time. I keep kind of pausing when thinking of that name for some reason. Like,
what's an ocarina?
I should just keep every time I pause there, I should intentionally come up with the name of some other random video game.
Trumpet of Time.
Yeah. You know that game Back to the Future? No. Yeah. You were a fan of Ocarina of Time. Well, I actually haven't played that many of the older Zelda games. But I know Dream is a big fan of Ocarina. I'm assuming...
That I am?
Yeah. I'm assuming just due to sheer probability, Pesky Plumber is probably a fan as well?
I'm just absolutely horrible at Zelda games. So I just spent time just going, where do I go? Where do I go? I don't even. What is it?
You know what's sad? The very first Zelda game I ever played was the second one, the side-scrolling one.
Zelda 2, yeah.
Yeah, Zelda 2.
Yes.
That was the very first Legend of Zelda experience I ever had. Was me and my sister renting it from a video store back when you could still like rent video games and it was a regular thing. But yeah, we rented that particular Zelda game and being like, what the fuck, I don't understand at all. I don't think we got much play into it because we got confused way too early on, and I never really explored the Zelda games that much, so it's not really a nostalgia game for me. I actually got more into some of the Zelda games much later on, but I suppose Ocarina of Time is kind of from that particular area of time where I really should have played it.
It's sort of kind of that weird area where it's like nostalgic, but not that is nostalgic because it's sort of like in the middle of those periods, you know.
For me, Ocarina of Time is really quite a nostalgic game. It's one of the first games I have really sort of very vivid memories of playing. It's something I've gone back to a couple of times over the years to kind of play again, and for me, it still holds up completely. It's just one of my favorite games, really. I I've never really met anyone who said it's a bad game. Yeah. So obviously there's people who don't like it as much, but just for me, it's, you know, just it's really up there.
Which
I've found some people that think it's bad, but I think those people, but I think those people are just trying to be contrarians, you know, just
yeah.
Throw the pot and stuff.
I think it's
those
just people so are mainstream. They're also wrong.
Yes,
but,
they're also wrong.
And your opinion is invalid.
Is it Ocarina of Time or is it Majora's Mask that has the giant death moon?
That's
Majora's Mask.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is also a fantastic game.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get into Majora's Mask and failing. I don't know what it is. I think it's the fact that you're timed constantly throughout it. That just throws me. I really don't like being rushed through games.
Especially in a Zelda game where Zelda is like... the Zelda games are like designed for you to meander about and take your time.
Well, basically how it works is you've got 3 days and after that the moon's going to crash and destroy the Earth. But then you have a song that you can play that basically resets the time. So you
and
can't
it isn't
about...
timed because you have an infinite clock.
If the moon was going to crash into the Earth in 3 days, you would already be dead.
Well, yes, but the moon also has an angry face, so
yeah.
I think we abandoned the realm of realism.
I love how in Nintendo they sort of have like an angry moon and an angry sun. It's just like,
oh
like,
yes,
in Majora's Mask,
and plus
angry,
the moon is terrifying in Majora's Mask.
Oh,
yeah, horrible.
Definitely one of the memorable things from Majora's Mask. Like, even if you haven't played the game, if you've had clips of that, that just sort of sticks with you. Which is why I was like, hey, which one is it that has the moon in it?
It'll be a horrible thing to see when you wake up in the middle of the night. It's like you look out the window. Oh!
And the moon is just staring at you with its creeper eyes, being like, hey! I was watching you sleep.
So it's just like, hey, I'm gonna
or you're just like looking through a telescope and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Look at the size of that platform. So, obviously, everybody here is fan of old school video games. I'm a big fan of like old school platformers and action games. A lot of people here seem to be fans of that as well, and Zelda games as well. What category would you really put the Zelda games into? Because I've always been hard-pressed to exactly pin it down with a specific genre.
I would say they're adventure games.
Action RPG.
Yeah.
I'd probably say like action puzzle RPG or something like that.
Yeah. It's never felt like a full-on RPG, because it's...
No.
It's got elements that are very reminiscent of RPG, but not as much as something that you would definitely call an RPG, but yeah.
It's got a bit of action as well, but not too much where it's like, say something that's like sort of a hack and slash game or something like that.
Yeah, it's like that perfect balance between like an action game and an RPG, so that just is perfect and it just fits together perfectly.
Yeah, like it's the story has never been so incredibly immersive that it would turn off some people. It's always had just enough story to keep you going and have sort of...
Like, even if you don't like the story, you can just, like, keep going and keep playing and just do whatever.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was about to say, it doesn't, like, overcomplicate the story, like, say something like Final Fantasy, because I see those games, I'm just like, what is going on in that anyway?
Yeah. And...
I'm not sure if I've said this before already, but Final Fantasy games I kind of enjoy, and... This is something that's going to immediately destroy all credibility I have, what little there is.
It's alright, you don't have any.
Yeah, I'm sure there's... I have shreds of credibility, but here it goes. Basically, I actually quite like Final Fantasy XIII.
I liked it too.
I haven't played it.
I didn't know that. No.
Basically, the way I see... The problems... What everyone says about it is that, oh, but it's just so linear. And... I have to ask the question, did they play previous Final Fantasy games?
You could still get...
Sorry. Basically, a lot of the older Final Fantasy games give a good illusion of being non-linear, but they just are. Basically, there is a plot that you're going to follow the plot train like a good little boy. Eventually, no matter how many chocobos you raise on the offside, you go and collect the other things. They've all had a linear plot. This one was just a bit more blatant about it.
And plus, like Final Fantasy 13, like the combat system is so good.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, I find it's just a bit more fast paced than the other Final Fantasy ones. And it's a good direction.
I haven't played 13, but I agree with you that linear has become too much of a bad word in gaming these days. Not every game has to be a sandbox game. Especially a game that's so incredibly narrative driven, like the Final Fantasy franchise and other types of RPGs. Sometimes linear works to your advantage because it means you can make a really cohesive story. That being said,
yep.
Final Fantasy doesn't always achieve a cohesive story, but
Yeah, I think that's gotten to the point that we're so like used to games having like this huge landscape that we can just explore that we've kind of like turned our backs on like the linear stuff and stuff like that.
I always find it's been my experience in a lot of sandbox games, I'm not given enough of an objective to keep me going. Like in the every time I've tried to play a Grand Theft Auto game, I sort of muck about then lose interest.
That's fair.
Yeah, just like putting cheats and then mess around.
They're not very serious games, and some of them have had good stories. A big problem I had with Grand Theft Auto 4 was that they really tried to push a serious story, and I respect the fact they want to go down sort of a grittier road, and that's fine, but it's not really what a lot of people expected from a Grand Theft Auto game at the time. It came off the heels of San Andreas, which was actually a bit more down to earth than things like Vice City, but even so, the Grand Theft Auto 4 just was sort of a bit of a turning point that worked exactly like they wanted. Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I love the Saints Row games is that they don't take themselves seriously at all.
That's what surprised me. Basically, I got Saints Row 2 really late on because I just thought it was a Grand Theft Auto clone, and it is. Silly parts of Grand Theft Auto just put into a game.
Yeah, I find back to the topic of Final Fantasy and sort of guilty pleasures about it. I actually really have positive memories of Final Fantasy X. Now I know a lot of people say like
especially like that game too.
Yeah, especially the spoony one and.
Yeah,
others will say, there's so much to it that's just laughable and you can't take seriously. But I don't know, like I will admit there's some really dumb parts of it. Like I honestly don't like the main character in Final Fantasy X.
No,
just a lot of people can agree on that. But despite the game's flaws, overall I still really enjoyed it. And one of the things that really kept me enthralled with it was its ability to set the tone and set the mood, which was really heavily influenced by its music, like the opening theme.
Yeah.
And I forget the name of it. I think it's like Titus's theme or Xanarkand theme or something like that. I find that music so moving, and that's one of the things that kept me going in Final Fantasy X was some of its cutscenes, especially the more somber ones, really were well done, and
plus the story, to be honest, isn't that bad.
No,
it's not terrible though. It's a bit silly at times, but basically what you're saying about music, basically I think that's something that can be said I think pretty much throughout Final Fantasy, from Final Fantasy 7, after we kind of get out of 8-bit music, the music is just always breathtaking, and certainly the cutscenes are always, just beautiful. Like once they get going with cutscenes and the music, it's just good.
Yeah.
Really good.
And the music was good. Like back when we were using like the 8-bit stuff and stuff.
Yeah, they had great 8-bit music too. One thing, the reason why I have not played 13 was because the franchise kind of lost me. After 10, I was really excited about 11, and then 11 was like online play only. I don't understand why they didn't just make it Final Fantasy Online and not part of the numbered series, but whatever. And then they came out with Final Fantasy 12, which I could not get into it. Like, a lot of people tell me, oh, it gets really interesting once you get to the airship or something like that, but I'm like, the part leading up to that is so incredibly boring that I could not get into it. Like, a lot of people, it's the same thing as like sometimes when you get a book or something like that, where people say, oh, you just got to get through the first third and then it really picks up. To me, if you have to tolerate a large portion of the beginning of a story, that's not good storytelling.
And plus, the first third doesn't have to be amazing. It just has to be interesting enough that you can get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not actually played 12. I did miss that one. But 13, I think, I haven't completed it, mainly because I'm stuck in a bit. I just can't get past. But what I've seen so far of the story, it's actually really good and interesting. I like it a lot. It's big, it's expansive, it's interesting, it's colourful. There's some really cool set pieces and such. I have a lot of good to say about Final Fantasy 13 and not much bad, really.
The game is beautiful. You know, like the graphics are amazing.
Yeah, it's stunning, actually.
Alright. We've kind of meandered enough about some of our favorite nostalgic games and Final Fantasy, Sandbox Pit games, stuff like that. I think it's time to move on to the main topic of the podcast today.
We were doing that still?
yes we are. The topic for today is kind of a what-if scenario that we will discuss. And that being, if Fraser decided to make a movie out of Video Games Awesome or Awesome Video Games or some combination of the two, what would the premise be? Like, how would he make a narrative movie out of that? So we're all going to sort of brainstorm about that, maybe make independent pitches or even just sort of put our brain candy together and try and figure out what might work and not work about it. We'll see what the geniuses on this particular panel can come up with. All right.
Oh, yes.
Who wants to go first?
I'd assume that it'd have to be like an awesome video games movie because like it needs to have a plot.
Yeah. I was thinking that if Video Games Awesome were to make a movie, it would have to be kind of a movie about the show and not a movie within the show. Kind of the same way.
I think that they could have done something with like Ben Necco stuff.
A love story, you say?
Or like Necco gets kidnapped and like Ben has to save him, her.
I was thinking more like following the Wayne's World formula where it was the narrative more surrounded the cast and the show was kind of part of the story, but the story was about the people who make the show. I'm explaining this badly, but if everybody out there should have seen Wayne's World at some point, otherwise you suck.
I've heard of that,
You've heard of it?
What?
I haven't seen it either.
Oh my god!
You're terrible people!
I'm saved, thank you.
Go see Wayne's World, all of you.
Right now. I'll go leave this podcast and then don't watch Wayne's
World. Go see Wayne's World.
it's an example of the Saturday Night Live movies done right. But, essentially the premise would be, if we were to do it about Video Games Awesome, I think the story itself would have to revolve around the making of the show and perhaps some sort of conflict facing the show's production. So that, to steal directly from Wayne's World, some big studio gets interest in VGA and all of a sudden puts pressure on them to maybe change the show or something along those lines. Meanwhile, Fraser and the gang struggle to keep the show somewhat genuine in the face of studio pressures.
Or like the Turbos take over the show and they just make like all about them.
Or Deacon takes over the show. Fraser has to take it back by force.
Deacon and the Turbos take over the show because we're all disciples of Deacon.
Yes. Team Deacon takes over the show. That's one idea that could possibly work. Go ahead, Dream.
That seems entirely sort of rational and normal and a sort of story that could also happen. I went kind of completely off the wall with my idea that it's probably not even at all what was being looked for.
Basically, my
idea involved the staple food of the low budget film, a zombie movie. and basically, oh god, what was I thinking? Yes, this is why I should have made notes.
I didn't make notes. Yeah. Just wing it.
I'm trying to remember exactly how I worded this. But basically, my thinking was that, you know, people got, I suppose, possessed would be the word, by the memes and basically become sort of mindless hordes, like
meme zombies.
Meme zombies. The Turbo Club is already.
Well, sort of, but this is a bit more bloodthirsty and actively coming towards
Don't
pancake. Kick. Fool!
Then, I'm going to eat your brains.
And then Fraser gets a package from, you know, the MLG. The MLG headquarters contains sort of various gaming paraphernalia that actually works as weapons, because why the hell not? They go through the, you know, they go to fight their way to MLG headquarters. It's basically like the war room, like you see in all movies.
Why would the MLG want to help the show? They've been constantly making fun of them.
Yeah, but
MLG is MLG. That's the thing. Fraser is MLG.
His gaming dick is insane.
MLG cannot ignore the fact that Fraser is the most MLG of all people and has a gaming dick the size of Nebraska.
Basically, he's a rogue cop that doesn't play by the rules sort of thing.
He's not afraid of anything.
He doesn't afraid of anything. He can beat the dragon.
Yeah. And then it turns out in the end that it's like this has all been masterminded by Rob, who's after the turbo monies. So the epic finisher, they beat him, but then he comes back as like mecha super mega Rob Robo Rob. Yes. That's a reference to the Abobo thing.
Yes.
When Boston Fraser fought to get past. and then when he comes back in that form, he can only be defeated by overloading his taste circuits by having Fraser sing or freestyle rap, whichever comes first. So yeah, that was pretty much my thinking.
He has to rap the chat like he did on that one in Minecraft episode.
Kyle has
to beatbox it.
I love the whole idea of meme zombies. Like, of everything you just pitched there, the one thing that is really stuck in my head as being absolutely hilarious is meme zombies. I just picture
Turbo meme zombies take over the show.
That was the main thing that kind of stuck in my head. Everything else was sort of built around that.
Just shambling hordes mumbling the various memes like "lol, I just woke up" and
it's the real kind of
knock out Deacon and say, "We beat the dragon."
Oh, no.
I remember that's the other joke was Razor constantly trying to get Deacon killed by the hordes of zombies, and they trolled him by not killing Deacon.
That's awesome.
Or instead of just being meme zombies, they're trolls.
Yes, the trolls.
You can have the trolls as well as the memes. They're like the special zombies.
Yeah, it's like every single
they're special.
Every single video game zombie game always has the like the uber zombies that are slightly more powerful than the normal zombies. Well, in this, there would be the meme zombies, and then there would be the troll zombies.
And they'd be like constantly making like a Fraser troll face.
They'd have permanent troll faces, and they'd constantly be trying to just get a reaction out of Fraser. I have no idea how that would really be represented in on film.
Wait, but they are getting a reaction. They're getting a reaction of, oh my god, they're trying to kill us.
I don't know.
The
idea is hilarious, but I'm not sure how the execution would play out. But
yeah, we need to workshop this.
We need to workshop this. We need this will take various countless hours.
Sooner or later we'll have a screenplay.
We'll have a screenplay, and we'll option it off to Paramount.
Sweet.
Yeah. Pesky, you've been a little quiet lately. Do you have any pitches to make or ideas to build on what's already been suggested?
Well, the only idea I can think of is just mostly stolen off of Sonic Generations, where it would be like, sort of like, some monster thing is combining the dimensions of awesome video games and video games awesome, and then like, the different realities, things like maybe the Rob could be terrorizing the Minecraft awesome server. Maybe the two couches could fight against each other or something like that.
Couch battle!
And then probably like in the end, the monster reveals itself and it's just like a sort of wasteland of AVG and VGN.
It's like there. A combination of all the fans like formed together into like one thing, like how like the chat picture is on like the FFS fan wiki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, kind of like that, and then like there'll be like evil versions of the mods and commissioners and stuff like that.
All right,
and then like there'd probably be like obviously like floating meme references everywhere. So like probably a pancake would go flying in the air or something like that. I don't know. I'm just brain farting here right now. So
I like it. I love the idea of the couches dueling. Here's a second idea I had, which your
I
idea.
Think the premise...
Go ahead.
I was about to say it should be also if they did make a movie, it would sort of have to make fun of themselves, get tribute to it at the same time. So they could obviously make in jokes about things like obviously sort of how they do it now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, Fraser, you're never really good at any reading, anyways. It's like, why do I even bother or something? I don't know.
I picture the movie. Like, if the movie was made, it would be, like, an hour and a half or something like that. And in, the, like, the bottom right corner, there would always be the chat.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Through the entire movie,
which there's... supports my idea of Rachel having to rap the chat.
Yes. Everybody ignores it. No.
The entire movie... It would be the chat monster, like, trolling, like, the viewers of the movie, the whole time.
No, I picture the chat just being there, unnoticed, except for occasionally Becky can see it.
Like breaking the fourth wall in a way as well.
Yeah, Becky can see the chat, but no one else.
And it's like, where are you seeing that, Becky? Oh, it's down in the chat. Where?
Almost when Becky goes into like the AVG universe, like she can't be, like she starts to disappear because she wasn't part of AVG.
Actually,
that was one idea that Becky can see it. I liked it ever more instead of sort of seeing the chat, basically having, you know, just a sentence appear in, like, if she looks like a mirror or in a window or something.
Yeah. And occasionally, like, in scenes where Becky's not talking and she's just sort of in the background, she would just be staring off at the bottom right corner.
Yeah.
Looking like she's reading it.
She'd just be reading the chat.
Yeah, she'd just be reading the chat.
out loud.
Yeah. Another idea I also had, which ties kind of into your idea, Pesky, of having a crossover between the AVG and VGA universe. I had an idea where, for some reason, it's not fully fleshed out, but for some reason, the video game's awesome people go back in time. For what reason, we can decide later. They go back in time to the early 90s and encounter video game Ace and Chet.
Maybe the reason they go back is probably because Fraser forgot how to make awesome video games because he's been neglecting it for so long.
Turns out that Dad is Fraser's father.
That's brilliant. I like
that. Dad was Fraser's father.
But yeah, like I just imagine them going back in time to the early 90s and encountering Chet and Ace and Dad. And while they're there, I'm starting to think of an actual conflict. I imagine maybe Deacon.
Maybe Ace and Chet and Dad could be the antagonist because they want to be a part of like the new show, but Fraser won't let them.
Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to set it up so that they will eternally be part. Like the show will carry on.
Like
they're
trying. Like they'll eternally be a part of FFS TV.
Yes, that video games awesome will never come to be because awesome video games never ceases.
Yeah.
And considering and Fraser has to stop it because as we all know. Or as Fraser has announced, he never really made much money off awesome video games. So if it continues indefinitely, it would bankrupt him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to get that type of money somehow.
So. I know. And the Turbo Club would never come to be. So Fraser has to stop them.
So Fraser has to stop making video games awesome because he isn't making any money.
Yes. Mm. Hey, I never said it was a brilliant idea.
We have to make more money. Go back in time. Genius.
Yeah. Well, if awesome video games continued indefinitely, the Turbo Club would never come to be, and he can't let the Turbo Club be erased from existence. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. We provide 98% of his income.
I know, and probably about 99% of his trolling.
Yeah.
And maybe about like 75% of his uncomfortable comments about Becky.
Ten percent comments will be just saying snarf.
No, the antagonist could be the Shadow Chat.
It would be the only one chatting. And then he just constantly types snarf because he's still at college.
Yeah.
Hey, not all my ideas are great.
Not all my ideas are great either, so I can't hold it against you.
I'm not a good movie pilot, so I don't know any of this.
I'm not a good movie pilot.
How do I movie work? I do not know.
I somehow expected this to last longer and be more hilarious.
That better be a great thing.
Well, sir, you underestimated us.
I underestimated your ability to kill my ideas. To what I would do to get Bashkir back.
I brought you meme zombies.
We can call them right now.
Yeah, meme zombies. That I think. Of this particular brainstorming session, meme zombies has to be the most hilarious. I would love to see fan art of meme zombies.
I could love seeing.
Maybe we could get Pesky to make some.
Yeah.
Oh god, that's all like my curse now. Whenever someone says, "Oh, someone should make fan art," they just all like look at me.
Hey Pesky, you don't have a life.
Make fan art.
Hey Pesky, we're having a fan art episode. Will you make some art for us?
Oh, great, now you spoiled it, you bastard.
Well,
spoilers, add him.
Pesky pitched the idea for Meme Zombies to the Pesky Turbo comic. When like, you have time.
Do the Turbo Club sitcom, do the Meme Zombies. I have to draw everything!
Well, there are
you do all the work in the Turbo Club.
There are other VGA there are other VGA fan artists out there. Hopefully at least some of them watch the show. So if there are any fan artists out there who find the idea of Meme Zombies even remotely funny, please make an effort. I mean, so far we had a hilarious idea last episode about Bashkir. Was it Bashkir eating his own stomach?
Oh yeah, he eating his own gut.
Yeah, eating his own gut. Nobody acted on that one. What the heck is wrong with you people?
Well, Meme Zombies is way funnier.
Meme Zombies is comic gold, people. Get on that.
Get on it now, or I will draw it and then rub it in all your faces.
Literally, he will come to your house and rub it in your
cherry
face.
Cherry pie.
He will go to your house and then rub it right in your face.
Yeah, like. Real weather.
Yeah, and he
I
will
tried
have
to do potion.
And he will have drawn it on sandpaper, so it'll really hurt.
Yeah, and then I'll send it to Fraser, and he'll show it on his show.
Yeah, and then he'll be like, "What's
blood
this
all over it?"
Yeah, he's like, "What's this bloody sheet of sandpaper for?"
Oh well, let's put on the show and trailer. By the way, Fraser, you should get working on that.
Yeah, Fraser. God.
Ugh.
You can't keep a single promise.
Of video games awesome because we don't have a fan art episode.
Yeah. So, as True Colors so aptly pointed out, we do have intentions of doing a fan art episode in the near future. Keep your eyes out for that. There'll probably be mention of it in the official TurboCast forum and stuff like that. So, more information.
Right.
What?
I'm out right now. I'm going to announce it now.
All right,
J-Rod, it's fine. It's fine to mention that we're going to be doing a fan art episode at some point because Fraser's been promising that for a year now.
Yeah,
something like that, and it's never happened. So it may seem like he's put you on a timetable, but he really hasn't.
Hey, we actually plan to deliver this time. And,
if Fraser doesn't do it, then us turbos have to do it. God.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be 99% of this show.
Fraser, his non-committal nature.
Frasher!
MLG!
By the way, who will be on that fan art episode?
I don't think we've really decided yet. Because we need to actually...
Oh, you said, like, Pesky like, Gaming.
Maybe. Let's not be too definitive in our announcement yet, because I don't want to say, oh, this guy's gonna be on there, and then the episode comes up is like, oh, we didn't manage to
surprise.
Get
it. We lied.
Yeah. See the
surprise. It's just me.
Yeah. Surprise.
No, wait. No one else.
Welcome to the podcast.
So it's just you looking at your own fan art.
Yeah.
I quite like this one.
Now the next piece of art, it's Pesky Plumber again. Wow.
I like this one. It's going to be curly.
Truly, he is the greatest.
Hey, you just... You
he
just
is the greatest.
You just sketched this one right now on a cocktail napkin.
Don't fluff my ego. It makes me an asshole. Trust me.
This is just a doodle
so
of
awesome.
Fraser holding a microphone.
Do you really want Fraser holding a microphone?
Yes. This is just a doodle of Deacon saying potato.
Banned!
Like
all of you, banned!
Bad, super bad.
Alright. So, yeah, is it, are you through with the announcements? Is there more information coming? You can tell we totally planned this out, by the way, because... Look at how incredibly organized we are delivering this information.
To be fair, J-Rod, you're shooting for about an hour time. I think everything's wrapping up kind of nicely.
We still have to do the sandwich.
That's done.
What? Oh, yeah, the sandwich.
Food.
So, Fan episode coming soon?
Coming soon!
So keep watching the ski.
No, it's to an like internet near like, you. Coming soon?
Coming soon. Rob Schneider is the fan art episode.
Rob coming Schneider soon, is doop-de-doop in the fan art special.
Coming soon to an internet near you.
Rob Schneider is like pesky that. Plumber.
I'm pretty pleasant.
That's the name. All the video games are some fan art.
Coming soon, in Valve time.
So I'm assuming that Fraser's tendency to extend and extend and extend his promises for a fan art episode has nothing to do with his inability to commit. I'm assuming he's taking the Blizzard approach to producing anything, where he just keeps extending and extending and extending because he has to make sure it's quality.
He's basically just trolling me with this because I just accept this person. But he thought
the fan art stack's increasing so much that he probably can't even keep up with it.
I know. And Pesky, are you implying that that he's specifically trolling you as if the fan art episode is specifically about your art? Because that's pretty dickish to say.
You egotistical son of a gun.
Like I said, don't fuck my ego! It makes me an asshole!
My ego!
Son of a bitch!
My ego is overpowering me! It's devouring me!
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
So, announcement seems to be through. The idea has come across so far that we will be doing a fan art episode. I promise it will come through. And we'll just see how much my promises are worth as time progresses. Next segment. We have discussed. Quickly, I just want to say
we that. We got more segments?
The sandwich segment.
Oh.
Can't. Don't shoot down my dreams.
I want to make perfect sandwich.
Dream would be willing to shoot down your dreams.
What? Who am I shooting down? What?
Where? There's
your name is Dream. Right? He said shoot down your dreams. I put them together.
Oh, what? I see what you did hilarious. There. You know the rest.
You know the rest.
Before I move on to the sandwich segment, I just want to quickly announce that the Turbo Challenge from last week, where I wanted everybody to submit promo videos as video replies, I am extending that by another week because we only started getting people submitting it. I said we were going to do a top five. I don't think we've even received five submissions yet, so I'll extend.
Well, you people need to send in more stuff.
What?
I'm still to make mine. I have plans
you
for it, though.
You people need to send in more stuff. I've been talking to the viewers.
I've just started working on mine, so different from that.
I'll extend that by another week to give people more time. And on to the Turbo Club sandwich. We're not going to have a From the Forums this episode because we couldn't find a decent forum topic.
But make better ones next time.
Yes! Get on that. Internet.
Do it.
Interesting topics.
Sandwich segment. I'm sure you're all familiar with this, or you should be, or else you aren't.
If you're not, then you're stupid.
Yeah. So far, the Turbo Club sandwich consists of the giraffe bread and the MMORPG jam. How do we want to do this? Do we want both of you to... You, like, Pesky and True Colors are both our guests, so they're the ones who get to add condiments. Do you want to vote on one thing to add, or do you each want to add something?
Let's vote.
Yeah, we'll vote, yeah.
Okay.
We'll vote.
Both of you...
I vote yes.
I vote too. What are we doing?
Well, first something has to be proposed before we can vote.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You guys really know how to cock this up.
Okay,
you're ruining the TurboCast! Get out!
I tried my best! Okay.
I am disappointed.
What about pancakes?
Pancakes.
Syrup?
Pancakes and a sandwich.
True Colors, do you have an alternate to the pancake to submit? Basically, both of you should submit an idea.
Pancakes are condiment?
Well, condiment, topping, something.
Let's just, like, focus on, like, a condiment so that we'll think. Condiments, Les, you're topping. The smart one.
Okay, bologna? I don't know.
Lemonade?
That's a drink!
What? Awesome!
Sandwich.
The Turbo Club sandwich. So far there have been suggestions of bologna, lemonade, pancakes. I believe last episode, I think Bad Thoughts made the suggestion that there be marshmallows, although Bastion didn't vote for that.
I do find the idea of pancakes and a sandwich to be very daring. Like that.
Yep.
I mean, we had bad kids. Why not?
Let's not waffle on this decision.
J-Rod, you're banned. I know it's like you're a TurboCast.
Okay,
that was extreme horrible.
Oh, man. This is like Mr. Baconator levels of pun.
Who?
Oh, Mr. Never mind. Mr. Baconator. He's just someone. He's someone from
okay,
the.
Okay, so pancakes on a sandwich. I vote yes.
Pancake?
Yes, I vote that.
Do you vote pancake. For that, Pesky?
Yes, I vote for that.
Pancake. All right, so that decides it. The Turbo Club sandwich now contains a giraffe bread, the MMORPG jam. I know that's not the official name for it, but we're calling it that. And a pancake.
Whoopee!
Things are
this
boning.
This is the greatest sandwich ever.
I know.
Let's keep the pancake. Whoopee!
This sandwich is turning out nicely. All right.
Don't pancake that so great.
You know, it's only going to be a couple more weeks, so I'm going to try making this sandwich. Because it says sounding good. I don't know where to get some MOD jam, though.
Yeah. I don't know. You could just suffice normal jam, I think.
Well, no, there's a couple of military surplus stores in town, so maybe they have it there.
That would be an amazing turbo challenge to try and, like, to make people get to make that sandwich and then trying to eat it.
Oh, man.
Well,
make a video of it, too.
Yeah.
I'd be super impressed if you managed to get your hands on Ministry of Defense jam over in America or anywhere that isn't Britain.
No, not Britain.
This sandwich is amazing. I want to see people just going into a random deli or something like that and ordering this sandwich. Like, I'd like the Turbo Club sandwich, please. And they're like,
my God, you're mad.
You're a mad, sir.
Such a thing has never been done.
Margaret, get out the bucket.
All right, so that pretty much brings us to our, once again, anticlimactic conclusion of our episode. I need to think of better. I think I need to think of a better way to end these episodes, so it's not just sort of an abrupt halt.
What then? We are going to need a climax.
We need a bum 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 bum.
We need better climaxes. That's for sure.
I like Plesky's idea.
Yeah.
Bum 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 bum.
Bum bum bum
bum bum. Bum 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 bum.
Two, three, four. Jeff.
Go go go.
1, 2, 3.
Wubba dubba dubba, is that true?
Pose for the crowd!
Bro, you go, big guy!
And we were talking about earlier trying to make this more accessible to people who haven't seen VGA, and here we are ending it on a series of references that they probably won't get. And they're like, meme zombies? What the fuck are they talking about? God.
Hey, I just came up with the idea for meme zombies today. That was like, no one else has done that.
No,
that's copyrighted. That is copyrighted.
Yeah.
Copyright by Dream.
or patented, whatever it needs to be, that means that people have to give me money if they steal it.
Wait a
second.
That's
what it is.
You just came up with the idea today and managed to procure a copyright in that short period of time?
I am great. I have friends in high places.
Oh, I'm sure you do have friends that are high places.
I'm pretty sure
I don't actually need a copyright. I just need proof that I came up with the idea before someone else does it. So
yeah, I think that's how intellectual property works.
Yeah, it's intellectual property. So basically, this show is proof.
Yes.
Thank you.
Suck it, law. All right.
Yep.
I don't care how
that lesson on intellectual property law.
So how do we close this?
We close this
with one big simultaneous bum bum bum.
How could we have forgotten the sing along? Probably because Bad Thoughts isn't here to constantly remind us. But
yeah, we need some TLC.
Yeah.
But I have one every episode.
we need to do a little sing along. No matter how bad it is.
Brian Boitano?
I don't remember the lyrics to that as well. I just remember that. What would Brian Boitano do?
That's what the internet is for. One second. Two, one, go.
What would Brian Boitano
do?
If he were here right now, he'd make a plan. That's what Brian Boitano would do. If Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold.
He did choose that chosen triple lots of wearing up by cobalt.
If Brian Boitano were in the Alps fighting grizzly bears,
he used his magical fire breath and saved the maiden fair.
So what would
Brian Boitano do if you were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano would do. I want this feature bed of me. It has sensed my vocabulary. And I stop fighting everyone. For Wendy, I'll be an activist too, because that's what Brian Boitano do. I'm just doing this on my own now.
I think there's a good enough time to cut us off.
But I can take it home!
No! Shut up!